Narcissists can be infuriating to say the very least. And if you're stuck in any sort of relationship with one, or if you're in the process of getting over one, you're going to go through a whole myriad of emotions. Let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, do you spend a lot of time feeling angry, resentful, or irritable? Do you think it's related to the people in your life, or does it come from somewhere inside of yourself? How do you handle it? Your ability to manage your anger has to begin with understanding it. Anger doesn't make you bad, and you need to know that. When it comes to a narcissist, this is even more intense than you might think. Let's talk about anger, because it's a big issue for a lot of us, right? Mm-hmm. So in my own situation, what I experienced was it took me a while to get angry. And when I finally did, I was able to use that anger productively to propel myself forward and out of the situation. When it was my toxic parent, I was angry a lot, but it wasn't until one moment that I sort of realized everything that had happened and all the betrayals and everything in the single moment. I literally felt something sort of break inside me, and I was mad and I was angry to the point that I went no contact without even knowing what no contact was. Thank goodness. However, with that being said, it was a little different with my ex. It took a little longer, but once I got angry, I used that anger to propel myself forward and out of the relationship. Then, I don't know, probably 6 months later or something, I found myself feeling just seething with anger. And I realized it was becoming toxic to me because everything had sort of started to balance out in my life and was getting better, but I couldn't stop being angry all the time. And so this is at the point at which I started to work on releasing the anger. And I can talk more about later about how I did that. I've talked about it many times in the past. And then I was able to start to move forward and heal. So I want to ask Lise, can you talk to me about anger and narcissistic abuse recovery?
It happens different for different people. Like, I think I'm similar to you where I don't really get angry until I do. Mm-hmm. And then when I do, it's like you hold on to it like for dear life and you use it to throw yourself through something. And then you have to process what's actually behind the anger. And often there's sadness and grief and loss. And there's a whole lot of emotions that are underneath that anger that,
yes,
that if you had used at the time would have turned into empathy for the abuser. And so it got all mixed up. So the anger is super useful when you're in that anger phase, if you can use it to move through. Uh-huh. And then, like you're saying, you got to process in order, because if you stay in that angry state, if you stay angry all the time at everyone and the world and the situation, you end up living a life that's very behind a wall of anger, and it's full of bitterness and resentment instead of moving forward into thriving. And so it can be your ally, and then it can turn into something that becomes toxic for you, like Angie was saying. So, and then I see people who are also really angry types of people, like they're more apt to get angry and to have this fire in them, you know, which is like, most of us are like, I wish I could have that. Right. And that can become reactive. And then, so then there's a reactive abuse side that can start happening.
Yes.
And so anger has its place, is what I'm saying. And also we got to process and move through it. And everybody processes and handles and goes through anger differently. When people are coming to it from a really narrow perspective of this is the only way, this is my way, I don't think either one of us is saying that. We're saying, yeah, some of you are going to feel really angry, and that's part of your drive, and you need it in your life to, you know, navigate. And others of us aren't used to the anger. And so it's going to be different for everyone. And so coming at it for like saying that anger is your way through, that is to me, not very helpful for a lot of people. And you gotta be careful, because while it can look really inspiring, like, oh, I wish I could be like that, there's also the flip side of it where that we don't know that person's life. Are they having healthy, functioning, happy relationships that are not filled with anger? I don't know. Because I like anger.
That's valid.
Yes.
And I think this is a thing. Okay. So there have been, I'm just going to tell you straight out, there have been situations where I've been working with clients who were stuck, and they were either stuck in the relationship or just out of it and feeling lost and like they were in limbo, hoping for the relationship to get better or come back. And in those cases, very specific cases, those people were feeling weak. And they were feeling sad, and they were feeling helpless and hopeless. Mm-hmm. And so in those cases, I've said, you need to get mad, honey. Right?
Same thing. Uh-huh.
Yes. Because sometimes anger can be productive, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's not productive when it's not propelling you forward, when it's just resting in your body and affecting the people around you in negative ways. You know, you're past that part.
Well, you start projecting it, right? When you get that angry, you're projecting it onto everything. And yes, that can just affect your whole life as well as those around you. So,
yeah. And it can ruin your life in so many ways. I know that sounds dramatic, right?
No, but it's true. It's,
yeah. Right?
What are you doing to process the anger so you could get underneath it to feel what it is? I mean, I know if that were me, I would have a whole lot of feelings behind the anger. Like, anger's the door holding back the things that I need to process. Mm-hmm. So is there anything you're doing to process the anger and work through it? And that's totally righteous anger. I mean, that's, you were wronged. There's nothing to feel except mad about that.
You're allowed to be
angry.
There's
other things to feel, yeah, but it's justifiable, right? So
mm-hmm. Yeah. 75 says, not one therapist has been able to show me how to move on. I worked mm-hmm. in mental health. Willpower is a myth. Yes. There's actually evidence of that, like in many research studies, that willpower is a myth. Call it whatever you want to call it. But I personally had to go through a little process that I sort of made up. It's a long story. But anyway, long story short, I wrote a letter to this person and I wrote everything that I felt in great painstaking detail, including every cuss word I thought, every mm-hmm. mean thing I thought about that person, every single thing. It was several pages. Being the nerd that I am, I thought I was really going to send this letter. So I rewrote it. And I did all of this by hand, by the way, and not with typing. And if you're capable of doing it by hand, like if your hands work well enough to do it, you should, because there's something to the pen, to mm-hmm. the paper. But I rewrote it. I edited it. I took out the parts that were silly and the parts that were overly emotional or whatever. And when I was finished, I felt that I did not need to send it, because I had gotten it all out. And so then I just burned it. And that worked really well for me. And I've come up with, you know, versions of that for my clients to use as well. For me, that was a huge starting point. It was like it was a huge release just to get it off my chest mm-hmm. and to say all the things, because the problem is, I think the reason that a lot of us stay angry is that narcissists are like very pro no closure. They don't like closure. Mm-hmm. They want to keep that door open, right? For supply or whatever in the future. So that has worked for me. What about you, Lise? What has worked for you to help release the anger?
To help release the anger and realizing that willpower is a myth.
Mm-hmm. If that is.
Well, if, I mean, I've experienced that feeling totally mm-hmm. that it's not, you know, fake it till you make it doesn't actually work.
Right. In this
but
case.
But it does. And it doesn't, it's not, it doesn't work. It's drops in a bucket towards the something that will work.
That's right.
And so it's a lot for me. It was a lot of things. It was going, okay, fine. I don't want to go take a walk, but I'm going to take the stupid walk anyway. And I don't feel any better when I get home. But you know what? After doing that for 6 months, I actually wanted the walk and I actually felt better, because it does increase your dopamine. It does increase your serotonin. Mm-hmm. So you are doing something up here in your brain that you're not aware of in your emotions, in your psyche, that actually does lend towards something better. So that's not willpower. That's kind of forcing yourself to do it. And I did similar with a letter, except I actually sent it. But I would not recommend that to anyone.
I would not either.
I would not recommend it. And I'm just saying it because it's true. And also I knew it was the thing that particular narcissist psychopath needed to have his ego diminished to the point where he would now see me as the enemy and not Hoover.
Mm.
And that was a very specific situation. So don't recommend that. But, and what happened, I'll tell you what happened, which is the worst and most horrible thing for most people. For me, it was like, see, I knew it. I knew you're going to do that. You're crazy. Do I need to call the authorities? Have you lost your mind?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're really going through something, you know, that you need help. Clearly this was all about you needing help. So less closure. So don't do it. But anyway, so
yeah.
In a sense, that helped me because I kind of knew that was coming. But at the same time, I felt what everyone feels, which is, well, I just got less closure.
Absolutely. I wanted to pick up on something that you said. You mentioned the walk. And I wanted to say something about that. Two things. First of all, that's a great pattern interrupt. And I think pattern interrupt is a great way to deal with those feelings in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you feel yourself raging on the inside and you have to like go walk your kid to school, or you have to like be a human in a situation that you don't necessarily feel like dealing with, this is when pattern interrupt is really helpful. So a walk is one you can do, of course, but there are so many other ones that you can do, like, you know, brush your hair, brush your teeth, stand up and move around, go into the next room, go out on the front porch, whatever, you know, do something
to change your environment or physical self-care, anything like that. And when you use a pattern interrupt, what happens is basically like, if you've ever heard someone, if you have a story that you've told 1,000 times and you're telling a story at a party and somebody walks up and they interrupt your story, right? And you know that story so well, and you've told it so many times, you could almost tell it in your sleep, right? But this person walked up and interrupted you. So in that moment, you might go, well, now, where was I? Right. When you, that moment is where pattern interrupt comes in. So in that moment, when you, I'm so angry, I'm so upset. And then you stop and you do something different. There's that split moment where you can go, okay, now what was I thinking again? That's when you change it. Take that moment and go, I'm going to do something. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to do something different. Think something positive, related or otherwise, but just that moment's where interrupt works.
Okay. Right. You're taking it away from will into choice at that point.
Yes.
And it's a split second sometimes. And you're like, oh, there it is. Okay. Take it. Go.
Truly.
And before you go right back into the most important thing I wanted to say for me. Yes. I feel all this. Yes. I don't know if I'm ever going to get over this. And now what? And now what? Cause I can't stay. What? I can't just stay living. I can't just, it feels like I'm in a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
So now what? And then the now what's half do you have to start? That's when I realized it's up to us. No one could do this for me.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. I really wish, but no.
Yeah. You mentioned dopamine earlier, and this is another important thing to think about. So we know that going through these types of relationships, it affects the part of the same part of the brain as addiction, right? So you, just like if you were addicted to like cocaine or alcohol or some other drug or shopping or gambling, you're addicted to the narcissist and their abuse, believe it or not, because, and this is related to the dopamine and the fact that, you know, when you're in this relationship, your brain chemicals are doing this. And so you almost sort of forget how to make it on your own in a way, like, in a, this is a very oversimplified version, but you get the idea. So what Lise was saying about dopamine, you know, if you go for a walk or you do some sort of exercise, and there are a lot of other ways you can also stimulate that production, right? But it might take a while. As she said, it took about 6 months, but it, that is one way to bring it back to yourself. So do you want to talk on that a little more? Or do you?
I think what you're saying is that the pattern interrupt and things like that will affect your brain chemistry. What it also does is it affects your neural pathways. So you're not only having this horrible feeling and doing something about it that's different, that's more healthy for you, that then become, what happens is we go straight to the quickest neural pathway, and the quickest neural pathway is F them. I don't, whatever the anger is, or the sadness or the depression. And then our brains keep running on that path. So if you interrupt, you not only have the boosted, you're taking what happens naturally in the trauma bond cycle and moving it over into a different channel that gets, that changes the neural pathways, so that when you have a problem or a trigger, you actually have a coping skill.
Yes.
Instead of going straight, I miss the narcissist, I'm angry. It goes over here, and it takes literally 90 days minimum to get, and doing it over and over and over and over to get that to start clicking in. And it is super, it is an addiction, and it is very similar to a gambling addiction. So
yes, in particular, and this is how you rewire your brain. This is neuroplasticity, right?
Yes. And this is how we, when we think we can't heal, it's, we have to, there's a lot of steps. Unfortunately, we're not just sad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally, I think people go through the entire grief process, and that's just part of it. That's just a little bit.
That too. That's just an, that's just a piece.
Emotion isn't bad. Anger isn't bad, really, but it's also not good. It's really healthy, and it's normal to feel angry when you've been mistreated or misjudged by someone like a narcissist. The feeling isn't the problem. It's what you do with it that makes a difference. Anger becomes a problem when it hurts you, or when it hurts someone else. Sometimes anger is just what you need to push through and get out of something, right? But once it stops being productive, you want to let go of it. So if you feel like your anger is unhealthy, maybe it's time to let go of your anger. A lot of times, and especially when we're dealing with a narcissist, or when we're in a difficult relationship with anyone, we keep quiet when we have anger. We don't say anything. We shove it down. Sometimes we do this for a logical reason, because we're like, oh, I'm thinking too much, or whatever. We aren't being logical, and we know that. Other times we do it because we're trying to avoid confrontation or upset in the relationship. Sometimes people like narcissists, they like to make you feel crazy, don't they? If you think you're dealing with someone who intentionally creates chaos for you, as you may be if you're dealing with a narcissist, you're gonna wanna know what to do and how to deal with it. Here's the thing that sucks. You spend all this time shoving your emotions down, but when it comes to anger, it can literally almost eat you alive if you push it down for too long. Eventually, you're gonna have to have a way to express it. If you don't have a trusted friend or family member, you might look at some of the other safe alternatives out there. Places to release your anger, ways to release your anger. Maybe you want to join a support group like SPAN, or maybe you want to find a therapist or a coach, or even journaling can help. One thing you want to avoid though, don't post your drama publicly to your social media account on your profile. This is only going to lead to more trouble and additional drama in your life. You want to look outside your own head and you want to gain a new perspective. So while expressing your anger is definitely important, it's equally important to do so in a healthy and productive way. Even when you get over it, if you've expressed your anger inappropriately, whoever you're talking to isn't going to be over it also. It's another way to damage your relationships, the ones you're still dealing with. If you have out of control anger, it's really bad for your health. When you're constantly going through high levels of tension and stress, it's bad for your health. Chronic anger makes you more susceptible to heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, a weakened immune system, insomnia, and high blood pressure, among other things. Out of control anger hurts your mental health. Chronic anger consumes a huge amount of mental energy, clouds your thinking, makes it harder to concentrate, to see the bigger picture, and to just enjoy life at all. It can also lead to stress, depression, and a whole bunch of other mental health issues. This type of anger can also hurt your career. Constructive criticism, creative differences, heated debates, that can be healthy, but lashing out alienates your colleagues, your supervisors, your clients, and erodes their respect. And a bad reputation, as you may or may not know, can follow you forever. Makes it harder and harder to get ahead in the world. Not only that, but it hurts your relationships with other people in general. It causes lasting scars in the people closest to you, and it gets in the way of friendships, work relationships, and everything else. It's all about mindfulness. So let's just jump right in here and talk about mindfulness and how you can use that to let go of some of the feelings of anger that you're struggling with now.
How do you stop trying to escape emotions? Well, you use mindfulness to accept them and address them. There are so many reasons that people want to escape emotions, but often it's just simply that it can be really painful to face certain feelings. That's why escapism with alcohol, drugs, overworking, overeating, and other habits are often used to deal with emotion. But when you push away the emotions rather than accepting them, they can really grow in intensity. The anger can become bitterness, and the fear can become an anxiety disorder. When you attempt to escape emotions and they end up building, not dealing with them can become a wrecking ball that will hit you when you least expect it. You end up feeling overwhelmed when the wall of emotion from months or years of holding back hits you all at once. The best way to deal with emotions, even the painful ones that you don't want to face, is to address them. By addressing them, you can discover a better way of handling what you feel. Mindfulness is a huge help with this. If you practice mindfulness, you can accept your emotions rather than pushing them away and not dealing with them. Many people do not want to accept their emotions because they attach another emotion to the original. For example, if they feel scared of something, it's often followed by shame. They'll shame themselves by engaging in negative self-talk for having the fear to start with. The reasoning behind this is because people label feelings as unacceptable or acceptable, or good or bad. When you use mindfulness to accept whatever it is that you're feeling, you simply allow those feelings to be. You let them exist without defining them or attempting to alter them. It means that you'll be able to release feeling the need to keep your emotions tucked away. With mindfulness, you're going to discover that emotions aren't bad to have and that they're not bad to accept. By accepting them, you can experience freedom. When you accept emotions, it does not mean that you stay stuck in a rut of always feeling anger or grief or whatever emotion you have. It means that you recognize the emotion for what it is. It's a feeling and nothing more. Accepting means that you allow the emotion to be felt and you don't fight to keep it at bay. Mindfulness can help you to address the emotions that you try to escape from. You need emotions to help guide your way through life. Exercises can help you to learn to address your emotions, such as deep breathing, while focusing only on the emotion that you're experiencing at that time. While you're focusing on the emotion, get to the reason that caused the emotion. When you figure out the cause, it can be helpful in accepting and addressing it. Once you identify the cause, you can release the emotion tied to the source.
It's time for the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you been here? Have you felt anger that you needed to let go of? And if you have, What worked for you? Can you share your thoughts and your experiences in the comments below and help other survivors know how to let go of anger? What worked for you in this situation? I shared my thoughts, now you share yours. All right, that's all I've got for you right now. Thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. I'll see you soon.